There's about to be a shakeup in the global market for textiles and apparel. A three-decade-old quota system that curbs exports to Europe and the U.S. ends in January. When the multi-fiber arrangement expires, unions say they will bring a surge of cheap imports, and that could end what's left of America's textile and apparel industry. 500,000 jobs are threatened. Ironically, the change could be more unsettling for poor countries that have pinned their hopes on selling textiles and apparel to Europe and the U.S., NPR's Kathleen Schalk reports.
Poor countries have been told that trade, not aid, is the best route out of poverty. Nicaragua is no exception. Its poverty rate is the second highest in the hemisphere after Haiti's. A quarter of the workforce is unemployed, and the country needs private investment. Like many other poor countries, Nicaragua hopes to ease this predicament by making and exporting clothing. U.S.-educated Juan Carlos Pereira heads Nicaragua's Investment Promotion Agency.
This is our way of getting our hand on the first rung of the ladder. It's a way for Nicaragua to enter basically the world market. And the apparel industry, because of its labor-intensive nature, provides the best avenue we have today to create jobs.
Nicaragua's apparel industry has grown by around 30% per year for the past 5 years, far faster than any other industry. 300 people have found jobs at the Gator Nika factory in Managua, making clothes for Talbots, JCPenney, Eddie Bauer, and Kmart. They hunch over plain metal sewing machines, stitching together pants and corduroy jackets. They're quick and precise, and they earn as little as 50 cents per hour. Critics say these are sweatshop wages. Plant manager Sammy Arnell stiffens at that suggestion.
Okay, you say they're working for 50 to 70 cents an hour. That's more money than they've ever made. That's more money than teachers make here. That's more money than the nurses make here.
Government officials hope the industry can keep growing enough to absorb more of the people who crowd into nearby slums in homes improvised from cement blocks, plywood, sticks, and tin. But they're worried it might not happen. At the end of this year, the global agreement that regulates trade in textiles and apparel will expire. Exporters used to chafe under this multi-fiber arrangement, which parcels out market share among 47 countries and caps each one's exports to Europe and the U.S. A decade ago, recalls textile and apparel equipment manufacturer Fernando Traversari, wealthy countries finally relented and agreed to scrap the quotas.
When this was signed years ago, the liberation of quotas was seen as a very, very bright idea. It got a lot of people very enthused about looking forward to 2005.
But now Traversari and others are dreading it. What's changed their minds is the breathtaking rise of China.
The fact that China was accepted into the WTO, then it, you know, just changed the entire situation.
Wages in Nicaragua may be half what they are in El Salvador, but they're twice as high as wages in many parts of China. China's workers are renowned for their productivity. Its factories are bristling with new investment and capable of making any item in just about any color and quantity quickly from scratch. The quota system has been like a cage, confining China to a mere 17% of the global textile and apparel market. When quotas come off, its share could leap to nearly half, according to the World Bank. U.S. trade officials expect China to be the supplier of choice for most large U.S. apparel companies and retailers. India's poised to increase its market share as well. Again, Juan Carlos Pereira.
You could have a situation where, because of the elimination of the quota system, China and possibly India will basically soak up, 80-90% of the apparel jobs in the world. It basically takes away our opportunity to grasp that first rung on the ladder.
Quotas on a few items have already been phased out. Joe Stevenson, who runs a manufacturing company in Nicaragua and serves as president of the Apparel Industries Trade Association, says the results have been stunning.
The quotas have ended in children's wear, in luggage, and some other categories. And in each one of those, within a year, the Chinese have gotten 80-85% of the market, and the prices have dropped.
Stevenson says Nicaragua's main exports, things like pants and shirts, will be next.
It'll definitely affect us, and we're hearing a downward pressure of prices now. People are placing orders now for 2005 already in China. If we want the business, we have to match the price. So price pressure is now, not later.
Stevenson and other manufacturers in Central America hope geography will come to their aid. Their proximity to the U.S. means they can ship orders faster. In the fashion industry, speed matters. Central American clothing makers are also hoping the U.S. Congress will sign off on the Central America Free Trade Agreement. That deal would free more of the region's exports from tariffs and make it easier to compete with the lowest-cost producers. Juan Carlos Pereira says Central America's apparel industry employs 200,000 people and needs this deal.
We believe Nicaragua, and in fact we believe Central America, can survive the end of the quota system with a Central America Free Trade Agreement in place. But the end of the quota system without CAFTA could be a death sentence for our industry.
But it's an election year. CAFTA is extremely controversial, and opponents say it would eliminate more American jobs. They warn of an accelerating race to the bottom. No matter how Congress votes on CAFTA, countries like Nicaragua will have to scramble. The end of the multi-fiber arrangement will set off a new round of fiercer competition in the $500 billion a year textile and apparel industry, one that pits developing countries against one another. U.S. trade officials have drawn up a list of the ones likely to lose U.S. market share. It includes Thailand, the Philippines, and Egypt, as well as much of Latin America and all of sub-Saharan Africa. And as companies and countries jostle for market share, many workers with few other options are likely to be elbowed aside. Kathleen Chalk, NPR News.